keep away from the day and allow me to say goodbye.
This is Maria Vasquez Boyd, and you're listening to 90.1 FM KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio. Dart Speak Radio. This is Maria Vasquez Boyd. Every Wednesday, noon to 1 on 90.1 FM, KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio. Thank you so much for allowing us to take part of your day. Thanks for everyone listening online. Bye, love.
Bye.
Saying goodbye to my radio husband, the wonderful Mark Manning. I also want to say thank you to Teresa Dirks, who supported this little old radio station last week during our pledge drive. And, you know, I should hope that more people would want to support this community radio station because it is your community radio station. Speaking of communities, we have some really beautiful people here, and very talented, I should say, here in the studio to talk to us about art and things that are happening in the world. We've got Kiki Cerna, Anthony Urpeza, Linda Lighton, and we're hoping that Bernadette Torres will join us. I know she's a very busy educator at Penn Valley Community College. But we're going to start off the show talking with Anthony Urpeza. Now, he runs a local studio that pursues masterful artistry and design on a variety of creative projects in sports and art, fine art, design, character art, consulting, and web services. Anthony's business has the central missions of putting family first, creating work with a purpose, and using talent and hard work to assist the poor, homeless, sick, and uneducated in Kansas City. Now, he aims for nothing short of changing the world one project at a time, and those projects are all the more astounding as they are accomplished by working nights and weekends. I know what that's like. Welcome, my friend.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
We're so glad that you're here because there is so much to talk about. You do so much, you know, with your art, Amigo Man, your sports illustrations and your paintings, right. The Comic-Con. Where do you want to start, my friend?
Your call. I'm currently working on a couple commissions when it comes to sports art, which is kind of catapulted in the last two years.
It really has. I mean, I've seen you post photos of you with works in progress.
Yes.
Finished works,
yes.
And then works with sports figures.
Yes. I've been pretty lucky. People have been noticing the work online with Facebook, Instagram, and I've been really, really lucky in people liking the work. And once the work's finished, then some of the prints are used to help, they're donated to charity and whatnot. So it it works and it helps all around.
Yeah, you know, there's so much to talk about because of what you do. One of the things I want to mention too is Amigo Man.
Yes.
Because that is, I was telling Linda Lighton in the green room that he's been around for a while. How many years now and what's happening with him too?
Started him, I'd say, roughly around 1993. And was about ready to quit about 95, 96. Yeah. And then a buddy of mine said, hey, let's make this thing work. So we've been sort of chipping away at it since then. And it seems that with the sports art, it has opened some eyes to the comic book art.
Yeah.
And so
yeah.
I've been able to meet and travel to some schools and talk to kids about what I do and keep them pumped up about art and creativity. And
that's really where your heart is. I mean, just reaching out and working with young people, inspiring them and mentoring them, right?
It was one of the cool things about starting the book is that it gave me the opportunity to go in and talk to kids and show them the work. Even though I'm not a really, really great or good comic book artist, there's the desire to have you have an idea, you have a story, and you figure out how to make it work. And with my partner in crime in St. Louis, we take my mock-ups, my drawings, my character designs, and he helps make them even better. So it sort of and then when I'm in the schools, we talk about teamwork.
Yeah.
So this is the epitome of teamwork is my ideas, my sketches, and then his quality work combining and my storytelling, my writing, all of that stuff just sort of comes together. It's been really, really cool.
You know, and let's talk a little bit about who Amigo Man is, because not everyone may be familiar with your character.
Right. Well, he started off as a crazy teenager who's going to drop out of high school and join a gang.
Mm-hmm.
And he comes from a single parent home. And his grandfather stepped in. And his grandfather said, hey, let's make a pact here. You go ahead and do what I think you should do for 60 or so days, and I guarantee you your life will change. School will make your life different.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
he took on that little bet, and from then on, he started to understand what it meant to do better and do good in his world, especially where he came from, which is like a lower social economic type of neighborhood.
And I love his superpower of flipping tortillas with his bare hands.
Well,
no, I'm just kidding.
See, you just took it down the wrong street right there.
I just had to say that. No, but I think, you know, because you didn't see a Latino superhero, it came out of that need, right?
Right. The idea came actually down the street here at Clint's Comics. After school, when I was going to school at Rockers, I would come down to Clint's about once a week and check out what's on the shelves. And I took a step back and I said, you know what? There are no Latin main character comics. And so on the way home, I started coming up with this idea to have my own. And right when I started entering my neighborhood, boom, I came up with the name. And that's what started this crazy sort of roller coaster.
Well, I know I've seen you at Planet Comic-Con a few times, you've got some other things that you have going on with that particular comic, the feature in the book and everything. But it is wonderful to be out in the schools and meet people and young.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's one of that's one of my most favorite outings is to go talk to the kids, show them demos, show them little clips that I've worked on.
Yeah.
Just recently, we've been fortunate enough, I think with the success of Black Panther, Amigo Man, the property has been, we've been approached by a West Hollywood sort of media company.
Wow.
And they wanted to possibly option this character out so they can shop it around for movies or TV shows.
Congratulations. So Linda's clapping her hands.
Thank
Congratulations.
You.
I mean, who knew?
Well, I had an idea. We're talking 15 plus years ago.
I know, honey.
But that was not the main. It's never been about movies or anything, to be honest with you. If I was to get lucky, it would be something like an animation, education-based PBS, KCPT type of animation series. Yeah. But, and this is just ground level. We were approached.
Sure.
I was approached.
Sure.
They gave me a contract. I don't know if it's going to work. The main focus is really not, and I know this sounds weird, it's not really major Hollywood. It's for me, it's getting more stories and more books out so that we can have a small catalog so that when the schools come to me and they say, hey, what kind of books do you have? What are these characters about?
I love that.
We have those taken care of, too. So, but it's really, really cool to be approached by these guys, you know, over there.
Absolutely.
So we'll see how it goes. But just like everything, it's hit and miss.
Is Benjamin Bratt too old to be considered?
He could possibly throw a little gray on him. He could be the grandfather.
Oh, there you go.
So
no,
yeah,
I love that. Congratulations to you, and keep us posted on that.
Oh, absolutely.
Do you have an Amiga?
Yes,
woman,
as a matter of fact, we have one in the start. So, but we also have a couple female villains too that we're working on.
Oh, I like that.
With just about every comic book character, the main character, it's the villains that make the character. If it wasn't for the villains, the character would be, you know.
Yeah.
But yes, there is a female version.
Does she look like Kiki Cerna?
That's not a bad idea, though, but I'll have to talk to her boyfriend about that.
So. I love that. Yeah. You know, Anthony, with the success of your comic books and all that, and the possibilities of reaching a larger audience and all that, you know, I thank you for all your hard work for that, because I knew you when, you know, in the early stages. So it's really exciting for me to see you as your, you know, rise.
Well, thank you. And the thing is with that, it wasn't done all by me. There's my buddy in St. Louis, Lorenzo.
Sure.
But there's also people like the Latino Writers Group. Where we would meet, and I would see the level of your the level of your work over there compared to what I was trying to do. I've never really been a writer or much of a reader, but this project or this idea has made me want to learn and be a better writer, and had to figure out how to write and how to write for comic books and how to create characters and character design. But it also has taught me that if I don't take it serious, then nothing's going to come of it. So, but seeing and being around individuals and professionals like you and Jose, you know, it's at the writer's place.
You're very kind.
You know, it's been an eye opener to see people out there doing stuff and making a difference, and it's actually inspired me. So it's not just me. There's also other people, comic book shops, or people at the comic cons. There's, you know, the podcast people. I mean, a lot of people have been really, really positive to what I've been doing. Even though I haven't been like successful, they've been really like, I like the work ethic, and that keeps it going.
Yeah, and there's discipline. You know, we're going to switch gears to your sports paintings and all that. Do you remember your very first sort of sports painting, and was it a commission? Was it something that you just got caught up in because during that time the Royals were on fire?
Yeah,
right.
Right, and my first commission was it was by a friend of a former Major League Baseball player. And even before that, I almost had one. So even before that first true commission, I had somebody ask me about a painting that I was working on, and I needed some money really bad, and I was willing to give this person this painting for $500.
Yeah,
and they didn't bite. So a couple of weeks later, I said, okay, it's yours. If it's for $300, just come pick it up.
Uh-huh.
And they didn't bite. And this was of Chipper Jones. Chipper Jones is like a, you know, 10-time All-Star. He's, you know, been in World Series. I mean, he just got in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
And so she just contacted me. This is like 5 years later, of course, on via Instagram. And, hey, is that painting still available? And I said, sure, it sure is. And she said, well, is it still for $300. I said, I'm sorry, it's not. It's for like $1,700. And then, of course, I got no communication back.
Uh-huh.
But, so from then on, with the work of that painting and a couple other paintings, my first commission was about 2 years after that first true commission, and it was a true honor to commission something, because this gentleman. What the cool thing about doing these commissions is that these people have a purpose for these paintings. Mm-hmm. So this particular commission, he did it for his friend who was that pitcher in the World Series for the Oakland A's, and he was going to give it to him as a gift.
Wow.
And then soon after that, I had a buddy of mine who did one of his father, who was a football player at Turner High School, that he gave to him. And so all these are kind of like being placed in a place of honor, which floors me that they would, you know, want my work there.
So it's not only just word of mouth, too. Then it's, you know, the social media, Instagram, and, of course, Facebook and all that people reach out to you.
Right. And it's also art shows. I don't do a lot of gallery art shows. Mm-hmm. I do most, like, I have one coming up here in end of March at my cousin's restaurant. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. so she gives me half the restaurant, mm-hmm. and we just showcase for one night, and we show the artwork.
Nice.
And everybody comes in, they eat a little bit, we mm-hmm. talk art, and then after that, the evening's over. So
it's, I love that.
That's normally how I do it. But yes, it's social media, it's doing a little networking, mm-hmm. it's throwing mm-hmm. my own art shows mm-hmm. twice a year maybe. But yes.
And you even made Mayor Sly James into a superhero too, didn't you?
Yes.
Because I remember the
year
huge
so back,
cutout.
We did Kansas City Comic Con a couple years back, we did a little promotion for him and Amigo Man together. So
yeah,
we're talking
about
seven foot tall type of cutouts.
Yeah.
Really amazing. He loved it. It was really cool.
So where are you in your sports paintings right now? Because I know we're kind of... I don't know if it matters. We're kind of in between seasons,
we're kind of in
right?
between, but yeah. I'm working on a Larry Bird right now, which is a NBA
Bird,
Hall of Fame football
French
player.
Lick, Indiana.
Yes,
that's where he's from.
Yes, exactly.
Why
exactly.
do I know that? I don't know. No, I actually did a painting about that in art school.
Did you?
Whatever.
But the thing is I've, along with Larry Bird, who's been out of the spotlight for 20 years or so, I have commissions that I'm soon after that of Mahomes. So my first Mahomes painting, people really, really liked it. And from that success, other people have commissioned me to do other Mahomes mm-hmm. paintings. Mm-hmm. And the football love and the football painting is going to go on until spring training or until training camp.
I hope you like sports, because you're kind of in a bad spot if you don't.
No, absolutely. And you'll see on my website, it's sports, it's comics, it's, I just did a Beauty and the Beast, so it's animation, it's all that cool stuff.
Share with us your website, then, or other social media, so our listeners can gain some more information.
Sure, the website's aoart5, the number 5.com, and then on Facebook, it's Anthony, AOROPEZA, and then on Instagram, it's AOART5. Mm-hmm. So they can pretty much check that out.
Now, you mentioned that your paintings of Mahomes, have you met him?
No, actually, to be honest with you, I haven't met him.
And when you do, can I go with you?
We'll jump on the list, because there's like 20, 30
people. Kid.
But I've never met any of the pros that I've painted. I have chatted with their wives. I've chatted with their assistants, but I've never actually... Yeah. I've actually direct messaged Hosmer, Gerard Dyson, but I've never...
Yeah, but there is a chain before you get to...
Right, right. I'm still a little fish. I'm still a little fish in a big pond, so I totally understand that.
You know, your work is wonderful, and it brings such joy to people. You know, and if you enjoy it, oh my gosh, that's got to really feed your creativity too.
It pushes, it challenges it.
Yeah.
It challenges the creativity because you can't make every painting or every comic book mm-hmm. the same design and the same layout.
Yeah.
But it is, and that's one of the cool things about being a designer or an artist, is that every project presents its own challenges, but also its own good things, all the good mm-hmm. things in there. So the satisfaction of when it's finished, where it goes. People are saying this is for my grandfather, or this is for my husband, or this is going to go in our living room, or this is going to be an heirloom for generations
like
to come, which I've
like
never
that.
Heard about any of my art, which is totally flattering.
Did you have any idea when you began your career as an artist that this is sort of the path? I mean, did you have some sort of direction that this is what I want to do, or just... Did it just kind of happen?
Well, you see other artists and how successful they are, and you want, you know, you kind of want that big, that big slice of pie in the sky. But to be honest with you, 4 or 5 years ago, I knew my kiddo was going to go to high school and that I was going to have to pay some tuition. So, and you've
how old
her,
is she now?
She's 16. So, you met her when she was like maybe 4.
Yeah, when she was shorter than me.
In a few years, but so I had to make a decision whether to go get a coffee shop second job or find a place to flip burgers, which I would do. There's no problem in doing that. I've done worse jobs.
Yeah.
But so I figured, and I always had my art around me in my apartment. Mm-hmm. I said, I should just give this art thing one more shot. I've been studying this artist out of Santa Barbara.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
I'm going to give it a shot and figure it out. And so I did. And so it slowly but surely started to get better, and people started noticing and the power of, you know, positive branding, logo type of social media, you know, really, really has helped in the last, you know, 5 or 6 years. And so now I, You know, I have work right now up until like June, the beginning of June, with the commission stuff. And now if we do anything with the Amigo that's, Man and any kind of, you know, movie production, that's going to just be crazy. But the main thing is right now is the projects that I do have, which are the commission stuff. And I'm really grateful for that because I didn't have, I mean, I literally would pray for work, you know, a few years back. Yeah. And now I'm so thankful for it. So the goal is not to mess it up and to keep it rolling. So hopefully the Royals do great. The next step, to be honest with you, is the Sporting KC. I love watching them play. So I've got a couple players that I want to start doing. Soccer.
Okay, thank you. Yeah, I didn't get the sports gene, but
That's all right.
You know, if you want to share any upcoming events that people can see you at or...
Sure. March 29th at Rico's Tacos off of Summit and Southwest Boulevard. I believe it'll be my fourth annual opening day weekend art show, which I'll take half the restaurant and put maybe 10, 15 pieces of work there. We come talk, maybe have somebody play guitar, and then we'll have tacos and burritos there for sale. My cousin's restaurant there.
Cool.
So that's the main thing going on. April 5th, I'll be the featured artist for Variety KC's art show. So if you're interested in coming in, donating, you can check them out online. I don't know exactly what the website is, but I'll be the featured artist there, probably working on a Mahomes piece. I've donated a couple of Mahomes pieces there, and I believe he signed those pieces there.
That is cool.
So I'll be the featured artist for that event as well.
Would it freak you out if he could just kind of like showed up?
For a moment, it would. But once I got myself
kind
up
of
off
in
the
your
floor,
zone.
I'll be okay. But yeah, it would kind of. But there would be about, I don't know, 100 or so people also freaked out as well. So
that's
I'll
true.
Be in a good group.
One more time, your website?
AOArt5. AOART and the number 5.com.
Anthony, we love you. We love you so very much. Thank you for your beautiful work and sharing it with all of us in the community and across the country.
I love Kansas City, and I'm glad. Thank you for inviting me on here.
Oh, absolutely. It's been too long. So
yes.
Very good. We'll have you back soon, and you can tell us in what's happening then, later on.
Okay, and I appreciate you not asking to be in the movie, if there is a movie, because I've had two or three
people.
Oh,
no, you would so be in the movie. Yeah, you would so be in the movie. Sort of like Alfred Hitchcock. He was always sort of
I know, I would probably sneak myself in there, but you didn't ask me if you could be in the movie, because many of
my... Oh, it's a given.
Oh, okay. All right, okay.
Tit for tat. You're here for the show. I'm just playing with you. We love you.
Thank you.
We're going to be right back with Art Speak Radio after this.
Support for KKFI provided by the Kansas City Chamber Orchestra, presenting Bridges of the Heart, a Valentine's concert by soloists from Park University International Center for Music, performing concertos with the orchestra, featuring piano, violin, and cello, for lovers of Chopin, Saint-Saëns, Tchaikovsky, Haydn, and more. Wednesday, February 13th, 7:30 p.m. at the Folly Theater. Learn more at kcchamberorchestra.org.
Hello, this is Martha Lally, producer of KKFI 90.1 FM's Anything Goes show with Charles Ferrugia and Carol Jean Barta. Hey, Carol, how would you like to learn some secrets about how to really make your best deal on a new or used car?
Well, Martha, there's no reason to buy a lemon, and I'd like to know what the pitfalls are.
Learn the best way to buy a car from insider car broker Alan Moore.
That's on the Anything Goes show, Friday at noon.
Hi, I'm Russ Simmons.
And I'm Susan Sanders.
And this is Take Two, two takes at a movie currently playing in the Kansas City area. And today the topic is a gentle biopic about the famed comedy duo Laurel and Hardy, and it's called Stan and Ollie.
An homage to Laurel and Hardy, Steve Coogan and John C. Reilly. In 1937, these were the biggest comedy stars in Hollywood, directed by Hal Roach, and they were the talk of the town, lots of womanizing going on.
Yes. However, in the 50s, their careers were on the downslide. This movie takes place in the 50s and shows us an attempt on their part for a career comeback on the road in Britain, going to the music halls and performing there, and then hopefully doing a film together.
I thought it was really an interesting study of the brains behind the operation, and that was Stan Laurel. He really had a deep affection for Oliver Hardy, and they really had this chemistry between them, but it seemed that Stan was the one who wrote the comedy scripts and booked these gigs that they could perform because he wanted to keep the duo going.
Right, and this movie really is a very sweet-natured, heartfelt movie. It suffers from one thing, and that is that the comedy of Laurel and Hardy, I think, is dated. It's of its time, and I don't know if it will speak well for contemporary audiences. They're just so sweet-natured and low-key.
And slapstick, which is, you know, you've seen it a million times.
This movie is beautifully produced, it's beautifully acted, but very, very low-key.
Following Oliver's death, Stan continued to write comedy scripts for them for the next 16 years.
I'm Russ Simmons.
And I'm Susan Sanders.
And this is Take Two.
And we're back. This is Art Speak Radio. I'm Maria Vasquez Boyd on 90.1 FM KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio. Thanks so much for tuning in and listening to us online, too. My next guest, I'm going to bring them in together and introduce them together, and then we're going to have a talk about art, because a lot of times artists, even though they may have a discussion about art together, I'm going to have one on air, so we're going to do that. So I want to introduce Kiki Cerna. Hello, Kiki.
Hello.
And Linda Lighton.
Hi.
Hello, Linda. And let me give you a little bit of background about Kiki Cerna. She's a Mexican visual artist living in Kansas City, Missouri. She works within performance, painting, digital media, digital mixed media, and collage-based practices. And since her time at the Kansas City Art Institute, she is working on telling her and her family's immigration story, deciphering it for herself, and sharing it with others. Once undocumented, now part of the DACA program, she craves to find healing, catharsis, and a voice through her creative art practice. And her pieces develop from her inner feelings of alienation, confusion, and fragmentation as an immigrant. And, you know, we'll get further into discussion about your work. I also want to mention that you've been selected to show a double-sided billboard at the Kansas City MoBank at 125 Southwest Boulevard, the Art Ports.
Yes.
Yeah, and that's going to happen in June and August, right?
Yeah, it goes June, July, and August, yeah. And so it's at the peak of the summer.
Oh, great. And, you know, as we find out more about your work, I'm going to introduce Linda Lighton, and then we're going to have a conversation. And Linda Lighton is a prolific artist. Oops, I'm getting a little bit of feedback on my Mike. Linda Lighton is a prolific artist who creates without reticence. She has always addressed social and cultural topics, in particular, the infinite nuances of sexuality, repression, gender, power, control, and desire across cultures. She currently has a show at the Kane Gallery and the Human Rights Gallery, Taking Aim. And this show, she links gun violence to violence against women and then connects both ideas to capitalist greed and the human preoccupation with power, control, and status. Welcome, Linda.
Thank you.
Yeah. And Kiki. So I'm getting a little bit of fuzz. I'm not sure what. But Linda works through ceramics. She's a ceramic artist, right?
Mm-hmm.
And Kiki is, again, multidisciplined artist.
Yes.
So let's talk about your work in depth, what kind of work that you do, Kiki. Mm-hmm. I know reading from what I had from Charlotte Street Foundation,
yeah,
that you work with intensely with color.
Mm-hmm. So as an undergrad, most of my work lacked color. Graduating, one of my goals was to bring color back into my work. I think one of the main reasons that I was trying to work within the color aspect again was because of the fact that a lot of my memories, a lot of the content that I'm using is autobiographical. And so growing up in Mexico City for part of my life, one of the most vivid memories I have are actually of the streets.
Mm-hmm.
The brightly colored houses, the design, and like really having no law to color. And
mm-hmm.
So that's one of the reasons I've started to use color again, and I'm definitely enjoying it because I do see that residue from my experience in Mexico and mm-hmm. not really being able to return to a country that kind of looks like that. It's very different here, and so I see that in my color, and I want to keep using that as well.
So it's painting, and
yeah.
And what sort of medium?
So it's painting, but I also do my own paint. So I mix my own inks, and then I color my own paper, but I also do other types of paper. So right now I'm trying to kind of cross over to fabric so I can start to use that color in a different way. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so it's ink, color pencil, own mixed inks, and collage-based practice, too.
I love, as this write-up that I have in front of me, I love the statement that using color as your ally, you will live vicariously through the passages that you once walked as a child.
Yeah.
I love this, the brightly colored buildings, the sweet taste of fruit outside her great-grandfather's home.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's really a beautiful memory that will translate then to color.
Mm-hmm. And so that's an experience that, you know, I can always tell people, like, Mexico is so colorful. It's not just the visual aspects of it, but it's the fruit, it's the diversity.
Yeah.
It's a big melting pot. And so I hope that my work can carry those aspects, you know, whether people directly recognize it as that or they just see the colors and see that those visual symbolisms that come throughout.
And so this is what we will see, something like this for your art board?
So for the art board, it's a little bit different, actually. It's actually a collaboration between my boyfriend and I, my partner in life, Sam Holt. It's a documentation-based piece that we've been making in the last year and a half. And it's all about documenting the Kansas City skies. It does have to relate with color because I remember being here, something that is very different than in Mexico, and I think that it's a unique aspect of the Midwest, is how colorful the sky can be, and just the beautiful color palettes that happen. There's always amazing sunsets, and so we were documenting, spending time together, going and documenting in the city images of the sky, and so eventually the piece will be a gridded format of these different moments throughout the sky, and we hope it serves as a friendly and nice reminder to, you know, stop and, like, look up and remember the uniqueness of being in Kansas City and the color. Well,
I'm very excited to see that, Kiki, but we're going to have to wait till June to see those. Congratulations to you for
Thank you.
Because, you know, it's such a joy to go through that area and then, you know, look up and see the wonderful work. I know Bernadette has some work up there currently. I don't know when that comes down. But, so you've been connected with the Charlotte Street Foundation because you were a resident?
Yes, I just got the residency this past September, and I'm actually in it right now. I've been just so grateful of having that, but it really opens up a lot of different experiences and, you know, doors of opportunity, so that's something that I love about it.
Do you ever feel, what are your feelings about not being able to return to Mexico?
So I think for a long, long time, and I actually think kind of how I was talking about this earlier, as an undergrad, I hadn't really spoken about having been undocumented, and I think that my work kind of lacked something. It was something specific that was so important to my story, and because I did not feel safe talking about it, I hadn't done it. And so now, while I've been working throughout this process, I think it's been very cathartic. Even though at some point I felt very, and I still do feel sad about not being able to return and see my family.
Yeah.
There's family that I do not even know. I think my work has helped me kind of form some form of closure, and that is something that is specific to my practice, is being able to recreate these experiences to find some sort of closure, to relive some sort of experience that at this point in my life I am lacking, you know. And so, but I think that just with any art, like any art practice, there is such a cathartic aspect of it that it really is healing. So I'm very happy to be able to understand that and find that, you know, as an artist, to have that privilege.
And I think all three artists that I have on this on the program today, they all have sort of that I'm going to say emotional response or some sort of reaction to what is outside of them or what's inside of them. I know with Linda, with her work, her most recent work, taking aim. It is about the gun violence and all that, Linda, right?
Right. So for so many years, I have also been trying to reveal what's inside of me
and what's going on. But, let's see. In 2010, my husband was driving to my studio, which is on 31st, and he's at Linwood and Gillum. Mm-hmm. There's a light there, 8:30, Monday morning. Six guys with guns drawn. And he's sitting right there, two guys shot dead. Wow. And I was like, what, in my neighborhood?
Wow.
And was it reported in the paper?
Yeah.
No. And I was like, so I started looking into what was going on, and I mean, I'm outraged. I moved there to clean up the hood, man.
Yeah.
So I've been there 30 years. It's getting cleaned up, certainly. And I had no idea that that was the killing zone at the time. And I did not know that this was the fifth most violent city in the country. And I just was like, wow, what can I do? Mm-hmm. You know, ask a middle-aged woman if you want to solve a problem. Not to say I've solved it. I certainly haven't.
Sure.
It's huge.
Yeah.
But I went and talked to the police commissioner, Jolie Justice, whoever I could talk to, and they said the important thing was to keep the conversation alive.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, this work is way more outward than a lot of stuff that I've tackled before. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But, you know, when we talked earlier in the green room, your work is ceramic pieces, and I know that they've been featured here in Kansas City, and currently they're at King Gallery. Talk about what I know this because it's a radio. Talk about what artists or what a viewer would see in your work. I mean, describe your work to.
So it's interesting. I'm like, how do I tackle this issue, and how is it that I can talk to people? I don't need to talk to people that already have my thinking of what is the value of a human life, folks. So what I thought I should do is to reflect what I see going on around me. So a lot of people can look at this work and say, the NRA could use this for advertising. So what I have done is made collections of guns, gas. I thought about how we trade oil for guns in our country. In fact, 10% of our gross national product is in trading of arms. And then locally, I mean, it's so 50 children have been shot in just the last 3 years in this city. So how do I approach that? And what are the colors? My God, I mean, eggs at all color pretty much, except for black, red, you know, silver, these kinds of things. Mm-hmm. So I wanted to talk. The show at Kane is actually called Taking Aim, Power, Gender, and Firearms.
Oh, okay.
And it's so interesting. It's at maybe the only human rights institute in the country that has an art gallery just featuring human rights.
Mm-hmm.
You can get a master's in that program. And I think that they will be teaching, how does this affect the black community? How does this affect women? Survivors? Are you voting? You know, what do you do when you're confronted by a gun? So all of this kind of thing is going on.
And while you're talking, Linda, if you would share with us your website and other social media, so people are listening along on at home. They can, you know, look at the website and sort of see some of the.
My website is lindalighton.com, LindaLighton, and you can find a catalog of the show online.
You know, but the work that I look at, to me, it's so beautifully the way you've rendered the work in, you know, ceramics and all that. It's really beautiful, but it has such a strong message.
Well, I'm really have looked a lot at like Russian constructivism and also the social commentary from Ben Shahn from the 30s. How have people tried to? So I'm always interested in my work being dangerous. I know I'm not just interested in beauty, but ceramics does last for 100,000 years, folks. So I want to make something as beautiful as I can.
Sure.
And so I do that, and I hope they lasso you in. And, so, you know, I have this one big piece. It's called I Don't Want a Bullet to Kiss Your Heart, and it's 8 feet tall.
Mm-hmm.
and it's a big arch of guns, AKs, Glocks, the whole.
And that's going to and that's going to be at the King Gallery through May 5th. And King Gallery is
it's in Union, New Jersey, about 25 minutes outside of New York. Yeah,
road trip. Mm-hmm. You know, we're going to take a real quick break from Art Speak Radio, and then we're going to play a message, and then we'll be right back. I promise.
Hi, everyone. This is Bill Sundahl again, your friendly neighborhood development director. I want to take a minute to thank all of our supporters during the 2019 Winter Fun Drive, from our volunteers in the phone room to our hosts and producers who bring you entertaining and educational programming week in and week out, to our community partners who come in and help make the case for supporting KKFI, and of course, we want to send our never-ending gratitude to our donors during this last fun drive, and really want to shine a spotlight on our champions matching donations through the entire drive. It truly is a community of hardworking supporters that keep KKFI on the air and streaming as we move forward into the future of on-demand media. I'll also share with you that we are leaving some of the thank you gifts on the website until Friday, February 15th at midnight. We are several thousand dollars short of our goal during this drive, so if you missed your chance to support during the drive, please take the time to go to kkfi.org and click that donate button. The gifts online will be a 20-ounce stainless tumbler, KKFI umbrella, guest DJ certificate, and the Blues Kitchen Live reserved seats. And so thanks again to all of you supporters for more than 30 years, and please keep us moving toward our goal of $70,000 for this winter fun drive. KKFI.org. Just click the donate button. Thank you so much.
And we're back live. This is Art Speak Radio, and I'm Maria Vasquez Boyd. And we're talking to Kiki Cerna, Linda Lighton, and Anthony Opeza stuck around for us to talk about and visit about art, because, you know, each of you are in you know, different mediums, painter, illustrator, web designer, ceramics, and, you know, multidiscipline and all that. So I wanted to ask you all a question, and I don't, you can fight over who wants to answer first, but Anthony's like,
whoop. Ladies first.
You know, I wanted to ask you, how do you, with the work that has a perspective, a point of view that's political, do you start out with that idea, this is what I'm going to work on, or does that sort of reaction to gun violence or violence against women, does that prompt you to, you know, to react and create something? I mean, how does that work begin when, you know, when you're reacting to something that is painful or hurtful or inspires you?
I think for me, since a lot of it is autobiographical, and I think just with the political climate right now, yeah, a lot of it has been a very guttural response to, and like a just a intimate response to, mm-hmm, what is happening. And so it is starting from an internal feeling that I've already had my whole life, and even seeing on the news something that, you know, this law is wanting to be passed, this could harm immigrants, this, mm-hmm, could harm DACA, like, it just does trigger those things. And so it kind of becomes a conversation within that conversation, mm-hmm, I think, for me.
Mm-hmm. And then you respond to it with drawing or sketching out ideas or just immediately slapping paint on?
Yeah, I usually, yeah, have an idea already forming, okay, within that, and I think immediately after that I start to create. Usually I begin with collage and then, mm-hmm, I expand out.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Me, I usually sort of have some ideas about what I want to do and how can I be clear, and maybe when I'm working it helps me to clarify my thoughts, because maybe I think visually instead of in words. And I would so like to be able to articulate how testosterone is a major issue in this gun violence, mm-hmm, thing. So how can we I'm not very good at articulating, yeah, it, but yeah, I know it's a major issue, yeah, here. And I started just making these lipsticks. They look, mm-hmm, like bullets. How do you bag, mm-hmm, your man? And then it's, mm-hmm, gone farther and farther, mm-hmm, and farther. So, yeah.
I like that. Mm-hmm. How do you bag your man?
Mm-hmm.
And that brings us to Anthony.
Great. For me, it just depends. If it's a commission, then I have to work with the client on what they're thinking and their ideas. And most of the people I've worked with, they're really cool. They're like, well, you're the artist. I want, you know, you to have most of the input in that. But if it's a personal piece, which early on most of them really were, it was just an inspiration from something, whether it's watching young kids play the sport or whether it's watching in a couple of the paintings, it was watching the Royals play in 2014, where they, or 2013 also, where you knew they were on the verge of doing something great. So it just depends. And then you figure, okay, I take what I've learned in graphic design and incorporate it into my overall layout. So, and I incorporate a lot of copy, a lot of text, different fonts, color usage. So you just use what you've learned. And then you throw it together, you know, on a piece, on a painting. Mm-hmm. Now, when it comes to the comic book was based off of an inspiration from comics themselves, because, you know, Batman, Spider-Man, my favorite comic book characters, and being in that environment and then figuring out where's that other element that I can relate to even more, and then coming up with the idea. So then the idea sprung up, and then it was like, okay, how do you take that idea and take it farther and farther and farther? And then those, if you don't know, you figure it out. I don't know how to create a character. I don't know how to write a story. I don't know how to do that. So you ask people who you think know, and you just build from there, and then you gain the knowledge, and then you try to figure out the other problems that are coming about. So it's all problem solving, but it's also using what you've learned in the past, color, design, layout, all of that stuff. So it hopefully it all comes together. Sometimes it doesn't.
Well, you know, each of you, you know, I think much like Anthony, have this story that you've created. There's a beginning, middle, and end. Is that something that you can connect with what he's saying? Or
yeah, we're all trying to reveal some issues that are important to us.
For me, it's definitely a beginning, middle, and end, but it's just very cyclical. Mm-hmm. It continues to go, and it continues to go, and I think a lot of my projects are series-based, and then they cycle again after that. So it's very repetitive, and I think it does have to do just with the political climate, I think.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What I want to know right now is, how can we make empathy and kindness have some kind of sexiness so that we can, I mean, after working on all this violence, how can we know that kindness is really important and really has quality and worth? So how does that look? How can we be kinder to each other? Now, how does that look visually? It's confusing. And how can it be as sexy as perhaps a politician saying some outrageous, best, marvelous, this, you know, all the, how can we make kindness
in that image? Yeah, exactly. Anthony's shaking his head.
That's probably an age-long question. And the thing is for me, if you were to ask that, it starts with me. And it starts with who I associate and how I treat others. So that's where it starts. And then you get other individuals. I mean, there's people I've grown up with, people I've been around that it doesn't compute with them. And it's just a hard shell to crack. So.
Oh, maybe I'm an old lady and I'm trying to teach too much. But you can draw people in with humor.
No, Linda,
that is how you
get
to people. You can draw people in with color.
Absolutely.
That is another way you get to people, and I see that you use that a lot.
What I've learned when it comes to bringing people together is you know, what we do, art. It has brought many different types of people together, and now I have met so many different types of people, art shows, art galleries, different backgrounds, different every ages. I think we're in the right realm. It's just figuring out how we get them, you know, to meet in that place, and then possibly have a discussion.
Yeah, definitely.
Well, and I think sometimes humor can help diffuse, you know, an angry moment or, you know, something that's really uncomfortable, but not all the time, you know. I like the question that you asked, Linda. I mean, how can we make it sexy? You're right, you know. I mean, there's got to be some...
Well, we can make it sexy with color. And I think every color has a lot of content and has a lot of meaning to it. Every color has a smell, a feeling, you know.
You know, you're right.
Experience attached to it.
What is a sexy color? I'm just going to pick your brain. What is a sexy color to you,
Well, if
Linda?
You're looking into the interior of a flower, it can go like that red, pink, yellow, green. You know what I mean? Do you can you buy that? Or even if you're looking at a bud on the outside.
Sexy color?
I like the color of guavas.
Yeah.
It can be different throughout the year, but light yellow to a light coral.
Do you have one? You know, this is really an odd question. What is a sexy color? But I think, you know, if you go through any color theory class, you know, you understand that there's an emotional connection. There's all these connections to different colors that can make you feel good or bad or any sort of way, any other sort of emotion.
It's a combination. For me, it's a combination. It's red, black, and then maybe a little bit of gold highlight. I like
spoken
that.
Like a man.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much. Right on.
Let's see. If, I know this is an odd kind of a question, but I think it's really interesting to ask people because it's just something that you struggle with when you become an artist. You know, people say, oh, you're going to be poor. Mm-hmm. You know, what else are you going to do? You know, you got to marry rich. You got to do, you know, you got to do something else other than be an artist. You've got to make a living for yourself. If you weren't an artist, each of you, if you weren't an artist, what would you see yourself doing? And I know sometimes as artists, we do have to sort of take other jobs to help support, you know, our lifestyle or whatever, but
I think I would be in the community-based profession, something within the community. I know that my art practice sometimes relates to the community, and so that is where I find that love. And I actually recently left a job to try and find something else, and I realized I love working in the community, and now I'm returning there. And so I feel like that is something that I would do. But I think that in itself is an art form as well.
Because I think, you know, just when you tell someone that you are an artist, I think there's sort of this air that in their mind, and maybe it's just me, they're thinking, oh, you know, you probably have a car that's falling apart. You know, you're probably, you know, got this really sad situation.
Spoken like an American. Absolutely. Yeah, because we have so little respect for the arts in this country. Now, if I go to China, Japan, Korea, and I'm doing ceramics, I could possibly be not a millionaire, but a multimillionaire. I have plenty of friends that are, because the arts have way more respect.
I agree.
They're also more government funded in Europe, although not in the U.S. Sometimes I think I should teach a class on saving money. Please, everybody, if you're an artist out there, put some money aside every time you get some, because you must.
But, you know, I agree with you, Linda, because one of the last times that I was was in Mexico, and I was painting murals with some friends and all that. They treated us like rock stars. I mean, every night there was a dinner, a celebration, musical performance. They put on poetry for us. I'm like, we're just here painting a wall.
And when he had this experience, oh, can you give it to me for $300?
Yeah.
And that is, no. Do you do that when you go to buy something else? No. That's how little respect we have for artists in our community. So I just say, no, don't give them a discount. Hold your guns, babe, because I know it took you time. And I know it took you training. And, you know, so I'm a really try and stand up for the artists in our community.
Well, next time I go to my surgeon, you know, and have to have surgery, I'm going to see if he can do it for less, you know. cut less weight. I mean, really, when you think about that, you're asking, you know, someone that this is their livelihood to do take less.
It's just, you know, so tragic that you see as you get older. So many artists, I mean, no, there's nothing else for me to do. I will do art.
But yet everyone wants to be hipster with art. They want to take pictures with art. They want to,
yeah,
you know. And so to me, it's always when I see people doing that, I'm like, okay, well, you should know how long that took that artist to be.
Boy,
to create.
Right. Well, what's our question again?
Oh, no, what would you be? If, I mean,
what would I be? Yes, yeah. Okay. I would really like, if I wasn't a painter, I would like to be possibly one, an animator or a storyteller in animation. To a writer, because I have a huge respect for writing now, since I write my own stuff, or a doctor, because of the one, healing, saving people, and being able to help the masses. You know, if I was, you know, a dentist or surgeon or whatever, I could use those abilities to help, you know, the less fortunate, which I don't know if too many do that come into the communities and offer the free service there. But I would like to have worked in design in some way, whether it's just project and problem solving in that area. But yeah, those are a couple of them.
Well, we have to wind down now, and I want to thank Anthony Orpeza, Linda Lighton, Kiki Cerna. Mm-hmm. Thank you so much for sharing your thoughts, your opinions, your work with us. And we look forward to having you back on soon, right?
Yes. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Okay. I want to mention that next week, February 20th, Laura Pinsker will be here. Jazz for Good with Doug Pete will be here in the studio. Also, Colby Smith and Brian Stamps. Stay tuned next for our birthday boy, my beloved Jeff Arshbarger. He's a jazz afternoon, and I also want to mention that he's performing at Big Bands Are Better at the Musical Theater Heritage now through the 24th, and it features the evolution of the big band era, 10-piece band. So cool. Brad Cox is the music supervisor, and Jeff Arshbarger, Sam Wiseman, both DJs here at KKFI, and our beloved Molly Hammer. They'll be featured at Big Bands Are Better. So that's going to be good. So I want to thank you so much for tuning in to Artspeak Radio, and have a lovely day. Honey, I'm coming home.